You just join me in prayer before we begin here. Lord God, we do thank you for today and thank you that we're able to open up your word. I do pray that you will be glorified through it. And Lord, I do pray for each one of those that are struggling with sickness, Lord, that you will lay your hand on them and help them to be well. And I do pray now, Lord, that as we are here to gather around your word, that Lord, it will be honoring and pleasing and glorifying unto you. And we thank you, Lord, for this time. In your name, Jesus, we pray this, Lord. Amen. So a while back, a gentleman was making a huge life decision. His wife had passed away earlier in the year, and he realized the home that they had shared together for the last 50-some years was far too big for him. And as he was getting aged, he no longer needed to stay in this home. So he looked into one of those cool little retirement communities that are popping up everywhere. And he thought it would be great to move in there. He doesn't have to worry about shoveling the driveway. He doesn't have to cut the lawn. And there'll be numerous people there that are in the same stage of life for him that he'd be able to fellowship with. And fellowship he did. While he was there, he met a young lady. To him, she was in her mid-70s. But he met this lady and very similar stage of life, had recently lost her husband and had moved from their home into this retirement community. And they were able to spend time together. They were able to spend more and more time together. And he thought he'd never get at this point in his life again, but he felt that he wanted to be married again. So one day he asks his companion if she will marry him. Well, later that evening, he's horrified because as time takes its toll on each one of our memories, he went back to his suite and realized he doesn't remember if she said yes or no. So the next morning, he could not wait to get up. He gets up and he runs down to her suite and bangs on the door and he says, "I am so embarrassed. I know yesterday I asked you to marry me and I'm very sorry. I don't remember what your answer was." And her face lit up, her grin lit up the room, and she says, "Well, I'm so glad you came to talk to me," because she says, "I knew somebody came to ask me to marry them, and I knew I said yes, but I couldn't remember who it was that asked me." And so goes all of our New Year's resolutions. It usually is this way with New Year's resolutions. This year, every one of us is going to lose weight. Every one of us is going to gain a new hobby. Each one of us is probably going to learn a new language. And each one of us is going to grow in the Lord spiritually. But by February, it's really not happening. And by January, if I were to ask most people what their resolutions would be, they would say something like, "I wanted to lose weight and read my Bible more, I think." But the gym membership that they bought, they can't find the card to anymore. They bought some new running shoes, but they're in the basement somewhere. And that really cool Bible reading program that churches give out is stuck in some Bible somewhere at around Genesis 2. So, as we look back on the past 12 months, I'm sure we've all had difficulties, we've all had heartbreaks through the year, and we've all had victories, and we've all had accomplishments. As we look forward to the new year, that's probably what we're going to get again. That's the only thing I can promise you, is you're probably this year going to have some hardships, and you're going to have some blessings. Some people look forward to the new year with dread and fear. Some people look forward to it with excitement and anxiety. I'm going to suggest that our attitudes will be a major factor in how we look at this upcoming year. And I just want to share this little story here. I read about a kid. He was a young boy. And he said to his mom, he said, "Watch me." He says, he was playing that game. Remember when you're a kid, you throw up the ball and you try and hit it with a baseball bat. And he said to his mom, he said, "Watch me. I'm the greatest hitter in the world." And so he goes out into the backyard and he throws it up and he swings and he misses and he throws it up and he swings. And he did this 4 or 5 times, throws it up, swings, and he missed it. But instead of being discouraged, the young boy went running into his mom and he goes, "Did you see that? I'm the greatest pitcher that ever lived." So I think if we take a look at our attitudes throughout here, it will really focus us on how this new year should look and how our growth should go. So if you could take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians, and we're going to go to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 12 to 16. So if we could go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16, and I'll just read what the word says here. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Again, with Paul's writing, I always get amazed at how his personality shows through here. He was laying out principles for us concerning our attitudes. Now, as we go into this, let's not forget, Paul, who wrote this letter, was in a prison, and he was chained to a Roman guard. Which, you know, that's bad for Paul, but imagine being the Roman guard that had some con handcuffed to him. That would drive me nuts. So he had Paul with him. Paul was in a prison. Paul was writing this about how to have good attitudes. So he gives us some points here. Number one, forget the past. If we can look at Philippians again, we're going to go there, chapter 3, only we're going to look at verse 13 right here. Read what it says here. Chapter 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, listen to this, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Okay? Your memories to you can be a friend or they can be an enemy. Okay? Paul, the Apostle Paul, he had a horrible past. He persecuted the church. He killed Christians. And by his own admission, he called himself the chief of sinner. His past haunted him every day in everything he did. Yet Paul tells us here to start moving to what lies ahead of us. Okay, we've all had failures in our lives. Each one of us has had a failure. The very first time Connor McDavid stepped on the ice, I guarantee you he fell. The very first time any of us tried swimming, I guarantee you we almost drowned. Yet eventually we probably became competent at it. Each one in life has had failures and sin and things that they regret and things that they wonder, why did this happen to me? I'm just going to share kind of a secular story here about a man probably none of you have ever really heard of. The man's name was Randolph Best, or Peter Best. He actually went by Pete Best. Pete Best was actually 2 weeks away from being probably one of the most famous and rich people that the world would ever know. Pete Best was the original drummer in a band called The Beatles. For 3 years, he kept the beat for the other John, Paul, George, and Ringo across every dance hall and nightclub in England. And 2 weeks before they were to make their big record success, while they went into audition for the record, the producer at the time loved the band. He says, the only problem I have is your drummer plays with a lot of emotion, but he's not very good at keeping time with the songs. And said, I don't care what you guys do on your concerts, but if you're going to record an album with us, we're going to have a session drummer. Well, the other three guys were terrified that they wouldn't get this record contract, so they quickly brought in a new friend of theirs to play the drums on the record. It was a man by the name of Richard Starkey, and I don't know if this producer didn't like drummers, but he felt the name Richard Starkey was too Jewish, so he wouldn't put it on a record. So he went by the nickname Ringo Starr. A little bit of history here for you. But anyways, 2 weeks later, they record this album, and we all know it went to phenomenal success that the world would never probably see again in music history. While the Beatles were touring and selling out sold-out shows and making hundreds of millions of dollars a day, Pete Best became a delivery driver for a bakery. And he did go through some hard times. If you actually read on biographies, he did struggle with that. But through his life, he decided, if I can't be the best drummer in the world, or I can't be the biggest rock band in the world, whatever I do, I'm going to be the best at. Pete Best became one of the best delivery drivers that bakery had ever known, probably. Later, Pete Best became a human resource manager in the civil service in the government of England. He was actually the head of human resources for all of Northern England, won numerous awards. for being the best employee of all the civil servants in all of England. I don't know how hard that is to attain, but he won numerous and numerous awards in doing that. And he became, later on, you know, the question was always posed to him, do you have any regrets? And he says, no, I have no regrets. I had a great life. I had a great career. I have a great wife. I have great grandchildren. I don't regret missing all of that. Do I regret the billions of dollars I could have made? Possibly. But he says, I don't regret that, because my goal was, no matter what I did, be it a drummer in the Beatles or be it a delivery driver for a bakery, his attitude was, I want to be the best at whatever I can do. And that kind of leads us into here is God gives us each day, we as human beings are going to fail, but he gives us the opportunity daily to start over, to forget the past. Number two of Paul's recommendations to us here is to focus on our priorities. If we look at, again, verse 13, and then we're going to follow into verse 14 here. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, again here, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what's ahead. But listen to what he's doing. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Focus on your priorities. One thing I do. Paul was a busy man. In today's society, you wouldn't say that Paul got a whole lot of me time. Okay? Paul was preaching, Paul was planting churches, Paul was making tents, Paul was writing scripture. So he did more than just one thing, how Paul had said, the one thing I do. Paul had a lot of stuff going on. He was pretty good at juggling things. But if you read, his top priority was to press on to the goal. How he said that is, if you look at verse 14 here, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm just going to put it in simpler terms. In simpler terms, he said, I ran straight towards the goal to win the prize that God had for me. His number one priority was the kingdom of heaven, and he let nothing distract him. We all have distractions in our life. We have work, we have finances, we have family. Yet a very common verse of Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 33, the one that, you know, teaching us to seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place. That verse tells us what our priorities should be. The priorities in our life should be worship, prayer, and God's word. And I'm not sitting here saying that that's always prevalent in my life or that I've arrived. As Paul had said, I haven't arrived. But each one of us really needs to evaluate what our priorities in life are. Our third bit of advice here from Paul is to live in the present. Again, let's take another look at verse 13 here. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So here, Paul's saying, throw out the past, focus on what you're doing here. Live in the present. What does Paul say here? He says, the one thing. But the one thing I do. Listen how he said that. The one thing I do. Not the one thing I want to do. Not the one thing I did. Not the one thing I will do. Or the one thing that I get around to. He said, the one thing I do. Paul was in the present. People that live in the past, I call them the I used to people. They're the I used to go to the prayer meeting. I used to go fishing. I used to be in shape. And then we have another group of people. You have those that live in the future. Any of you here know the busiest day in your life is what it's going to be? The busiest day in your life is going to be someday. Because someday you're going to get in shape. Someday you're going to be more committed to your church. Someday you're going to learn a foreign language. Someday you might paint that deck that you've been talking about. Paul's a great example. Here's Paul sitting in a prison, again, handcuffed to a Roman guard. But he wasn't making plans for someday. He wasn't looking forward to, well, when I get released from here or when I this or whichever. He was using that time he had then. He was writing letters. He was singing praises. He was encouraging churches. He was writing a whole lot of our New Testament. Paul was living in the moment. Paul gives some really great counsel for each one of us here. And he's telling us, just in those short verses, number one, forget the past. Number two, focus on your priorities. Number three, focus in the present. Live in the present. Benjamin Franklin said, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Around our household, we have, any time we have, and we all do it, we have this saying, you know, for example, if it's, you know, can you cut the lawn or can you whatever? And of course, you know, it's, I'll do it tomorrow. And we call each other Pharaoh. We're like, okay, Pharaoh. Because we all know the story of Pharaoh. You read through scripture, and each time it appears that God got through to Pharaoh, each time it appears that, you know, okay, end this plague, I realize your God's more powerful than me, and go and worship your God, I'll do that. But what did he always finish it up with? But do that tomorrow. Don't change anything today. Let's just do it tomorrow. He got to see God working firsthand. He got to see God doing miracles in his land. Got to see God doing travesties in his land, but he got to see God doing miracles as well in his land. And what did he say? He says, tomorrow is when you can go and worship your God. Tomorrow is when you do it. So that's kind of just been a joke around our place about being Pharaoh and putting things off till tomorrow and taking things seriously tomorrow. If you could take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts, and we're going to go to chapter 24 in the book of Acts. Chapter 24, and we're just going to look at one verse here, verse 25. Actually, we'll look at two verses here. And this is a story of a man in the New Testament here named Felix. So in the book of Acts, chapter 24, verses 24, we'll start reading here. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who is Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. Right? Felix had the opportunity to sit and speak face-to-face with the Apostle Paul in person. And he became afraid of what was happening in his life. He became afraid of the conviction that was there. What did he say here? In layman's term, he said, go away for the present. When I find time, I'll summon you. So really what he's saying is, okay, what you're saying is pretty heavy right now. Just leave me. Let me think about it for a bit. And I'm really interested in it, but I'll get back to you. Scripture doesn't say it, but I believe never again did Felix listen to God or Paul. I believe that Felix never caved into the conviction that was being laid upon him. And yet I believe God, when he's speaking to us and wants us to do something, he wants us to do it now. If you take your Bible again and just quickly flip to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, and we're going to look at verse 60 real quickly. Psalm 119, verse 60, it says here, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. This is talking about the present. This is talking about nothing hindering you from being obedient to God, doing what God wants you to do. It doesn't say, I'm going to do it. One day I'm going to do it. I used to do it. It says, I hasten and do not delay. So this person at this time did not care that something was going on in their life, and you know what, I just don't have time to make that change in my life, or I don't have time to go to church today, or I do whatever I need to do. It says, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. And I think that's the attitude that God wants us to have, and Paul certainly is pushing us towards here, to have that attitude, not to be delaying it, not to be putting it off, not to be living on past victories, but to be looking forward with a good attitude to being obedient to God. So as we look forward to the year of 2020, which during our table time this morning, we were thinking, boy, it's crazy. 2020, 20 years ago, all of us were waiting for the world to end when the computers were all going to crash and we were all going to have no lights and no food and no water with Y2K. That's so hard to believe. That was 20 years ago. We couldn't believe it. I sat in my basement with a shotgun and canned food. So it was a normal Friday night at my place. But it was just wild how the world was affected by that. And that was 20 years ago. That it's just weird. But as we begin this new year, let's let this be a year of victory. And there will be hardships. I promise you there will be hardships. And I promise you there will be victory. But I think we need what Paul has told us to do here to make it a better year. Number one, forget your past failures. If you set out that goal that you were going to lose weight and you didn't, forget that. Let's start over. Focus on what your priorities are. Place God as your top priority. As Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. All of this will be added to you. Make God your priority. Don't make your work your priority. And God does command us to work. And whatever you've got going on in your life, I'm certainly not telling you that you're doing things in the wrong order. But regardless what it is, God needs to be at the top and needs to be your priority. And also, function in the present. Function in the right now. Don't live off past victories or the fact that 5 years ago I read the Bible through and through. Focus on what you're doing today. If you're not where you were 5 years from now, that's what's called backsliding. If you're not as good spiritually as you were 5 years from now, then you're backslidden. That's not something to be proud of. Function in the present. Don't put off what can be done immediately in your life. You can make wise choices even right this moment. You can, if your goal is to exercise and lose weight, you can go home today and make a wise choice in what you eat for a snack. You can go home today and go for a walk around the block. You can go home today and crack open your Bible and start that reading program that you left in Genesis 2 last January 3rd. You can make your plans for the future. God has given us the opportunity today to do that. And through Paul's attitude, he's telling us, forget your past failures, focus on your priorities by putting God first, and function in the present. And with that, again, we're not saying this year is just going to be full of sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, but it's going to be a year we're all going to go through trials, and I promise you it's going to be a year where you're going to see blessings as well. So with this being the last message that we have for the year, I'm just encouraging each one of you to look forward to this new year as new opportunity. And not just this new year, that's a few days away. Let's look forward to this moment being a new opportunity and a new start in life for you. All right, I'd just like to close us in prayer. Great God, I do thank you again, Lord, for today. And I thank you we were able to open up your word. I thank you, Lord, for those of us that could be here. And Lord, I ask and pray now that your grace and your hand will be upon the rest of us this evening. I pray each one of us will get home safely. I pray, Lord, as we take this new year as a challenge and an opportunity to start over, to look to the future, I do pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon each one of us and that, Lord, you will pour out many, many blessings on each one of us throughout this year. And I pray, Lord, should there be hardships, that you will give us the opportunity, the strength, and the faith to endure them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this past year, and we do pray your hand on us throughout this time. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.